got to praise tonight. Who can praise the Lord? God's been good. Our kids are excited because we're about to head out on the ski trip. On Monday, we leave for West Virginia. It's 500 plus miles away. I hope the church will pray for us. Praise the Lord. Ms. Hodges. Orlando. Yeah, thank God for it. Jalen. Yay. Gotcha. Carter? How about that? On Monday, he's going to be on a 10-hour drive on his birthday. Anyway, it'll be fun. Jamez, praise the Lord. Brantley, praise the Lord. All right, that's exciting. Oakland, praise the Lord. Amen. Anybody else got to praise the Lord? Brother Ceylon. Yay. Yeah, you know, they had a 2-pound grandbaby, almost 2 pounds. Is she 2 pounds yet? She's not 2 pounds yet, but praise the Lord. Appreciate that. Anybody else got to praise today? Something. It'd be good for God to hear you say something you're grateful for in front of your friends. Anybody else got one real quick tonight? Mismarriage. Amen. For sure. Absolutely. Me too. I truly have had a blessed life so far. 49 years of very good health, and I'm grateful for that. Anybody else praising the Lord? You've heard about a man cold, you know. We get sick as men. We're like, ooh, you know, but for the most part, I've had great health. All right. Who's got a prayer request? Something you need help from the Lord for? Jamez? Okay. Jalen? Shiloh, Orlando, Max, okay, anybody else, Oakland, gotcha, Carter, okay, Miss Jalen, okay, for sure, Miss Cassie, spoken. Gotcha. Miss Glenda?
As it was best, yeah, I'll continue to pray for her daughter-in-law and her
grandkids. Yeah, for sure. Her daughter-in-law's name is Christine, and she needs some prayer for the loss of her husband, as you know. Anybody else? All right, let's bow our heads together, and then we got two young girls who are going to lead us in some worship. God, we love you today. We thank you so much for your goodness to us. We thank you, Lord God, that you see us, that you care for us, that you forgive us for our sins, God, that you look down with mercy and compassion upon us. And most of all, that you're very, very kind to us. And we're so grateful for that. And we bring to you all of these many prayer requests, God, around the room. God, there's unspoken. There's some serious prayer requests, God, for Christine, who's grieving the loss of her husband with all those kids and everything going on. God, that family needs you running all over it, God. They need you moving in the hallways, in the bathrooms, in the rooms, God. They need you moving in every single facet of their life. God, I pray you especially touch Hunter, God, and give Brother David and Miss Glenda some wisdom and some guidance, God, and some direction and just strength and provision for that family, God. We pray for all of those things. And we thank you, Lord, for Miss Mary's great health and across the room for the other prayer requests that were mentioned, God. We just lift them up to you and we say, would you move on our behalf? We don't pray just because it's what we do, God. We pray because we have great need, God, and we want to line ourselves up with you. And we trust in you and we depend upon you and we ask you to look our way. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Come on down.
Some say they're nothing but numbers. next to words that don't mean anything. Oh, but I found the truth in a friend like no other the moment I read 3:16. Some say it's old-time religion for the led astray fools who believe. Oh, but I found a hope that my lost soul was missing the moment I read 3:16. For God so loved, how can it be that He sent His Son to die for me? My shame is gone, my sin washed clean, and I owe it all to 3:16. Some say you have to be perfect, 'cause nothing in this life is free. Oh, but I found a grace I know I don't deserve the moment I read 3:16. For God so loved, how can it be that He sent His Son to die for me? My shame is gone, my sin washed clean, and I owe it all to 3:16. 3:16. So lay down your burdens, you're broken. Lift up your eyes and see a Savior with arms stretched wide open on a cross meant for you and for me. Oh, thank God for 3:16. For God so loved, how can it be that He sent His Son to die for me? My shame is gone, my sin washed clean, and I owe it all to 3:16, and I owe it all to 3:16. Oh, thank God for 3:16.
Appreciate that. All right. If you have your Bibles, go with me to Genesis chapter number 43. We're jumping back into the story of Joseph. And if you've ever prayed for me, do pray for me. I somehow brought the wrong notes tonight. I preached on Sunday. I got Sunday's notes, and I don't have any of my notes from today. But I do seek the Lord for the message. He gave it to me, so we'll just jump in there. One of the things I would ask you guys, I try to get your hearts to focus a little bit on the life of Joseph, is can you name some of the characteristics of Joseph? What have we learned about him so far? Jalen? He is so brave. You're right. Orlando?
Very wise.
He is wise for a young guy. Brantley? He's what? He has lined himself up with God. You're 1,000% right. Jamez? He is faithful. That's true. Now, one of the things that you'll find out about these kids are spectacular about that. They'll raise their hand so fast, but I want some of you adults to jump in there too. Is there an adult that would tell me tonight a good characteristic of Joseph's life? Can you think about that as we've walked through it? Let me ask you this way. Have you guys enjoyed, if you're the adults or the kids, have you enjoyed the walkthrough that we've had in Joseph's life? One of the things that we know to be true about the Bible is alive. Hebrews 4:12, we get that on the board. If you don't mind doing that for me real quick. The Bible is alive. The Bible sometimes literally treats me like a person. Tell me if you can relate to this. I can be reading the story of Joseph or somewhere else, and if I get reeled down, the Bible has the ability to pick me up. Anybody else been picked up by part of the scriptures? God has lifted your soul with the Bible. Also, if I get too big for my britches and start thinking a lot of myself, The Bible has a way of putting me back down in my place, almost like a person would. That passage says right there, for the word of God is quick. That word quick is alive. If you cut your finger to the quick, that your fingernail, that means you cut it to the part that was living and it hurt. That's the word that means alive. The word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. You know what that tells you guys? If you would jump in a Bible story and make Bible reading part of your everyday life, you can be reading the Bible and it will start reading you back. And when the Bible starts reading you back and directing and guiding your life, it is a tremendous, tremendous help to you. And while we could brag on Joseph forever tonight, listen to what I'm saying. We could brag on him forever and talk about how awesome he is. Joseph is just like anybody else that's ever walked with God. He did not get here by himself. He did not get where he's at by himself. He was rescued by God. And when I say rescued by God, you got to remember, Joseph was a victim of human trafficking. People bought him and sold him and sold him again. Joseph was falsely accused by a powerful woman, and that hurt really bad. Joseph was thrown into prison. Do you remember we talked about where the Bible actually says it hurt him? The chains hurt Joseph. It wasn't some casual deal. He was hurt. But all the while, God worked in his life and stepped in his life to rescue him. I mean, literally, when Joseph was sold into slavery, the Bible says this phrase, the Lord was what?
With him.
With him. Thank you, Jalen. The Lord was with him. He didn't go alone. When the Bible says he was put into prison, it says the Lord was what?
With
him again. He was there. And then, out of nowhere, God pulled him out of the prison there by giving Pharaoh a dream that nobody else could interpret. God picked a dream that was so sophisticated that none of the magicians could figure it out. By the way, if you wonder if witchcraft is real, read your Bible and some of the things that those people were able to do. Remember when Moses threw down his rod and made a serpent? Those guys did the same thing. They could make serpents. The Bible tells us that a witch pulled up the spirit of Samuel in the book of 2 Samuel. Literally, a witch could do that. There is darkness and sorcery, and it's real. And anyway, we look at this. God was working in Joseph's life, and God was elevating him, and God rescued him from all of the darkness. And God gave Pharaoh that dream so that nobody else could interpret it. And the next thing you know, Joseph is standing, and he's saving the food, and he's going to rescue his family. Can you look back over your life? Do you feel like God rescued you? Do you feel like the day you got saved, God rescued you? Do you ever think about it that way? Is there anybody in here who thinks you deserve to pay for your sins? Is there anybody here who thinks that? You do deserve to pay for your sins. You really do. You did them. You deserve to pay for them. But God stepped up and he saved you. When I look back over my life and I think about the involvement of God in my life, there's no question that I could say God rescued me. Like when I got saved, before I got saved, I lied, I cheated, I lusted, I stole. All of those things. Presley, let me ask you a question. What happens to relationships if you lie, you cheat, you lust, you steal? What happens to relationships if you do that? Is that good for relationships or is that bad for relationships? If you're lying and cheating everybody, you're on your way to breaking every single relationship that you have. That's the path that I was on when Jesus Christ saved me. I didn't deserve his salvation, but he rescued me. And then I think when I got to be about 18 years old, I've shared before how I got away from God, and probably 80 or 90% of people that get as far away from God as I got in that 1 year may never come back, but God heartily involved himself in my life. And there was actually a time in my life where I, like Joseph, found myself in a place where literally I'm in a place where I have busted my life so much that nobody knew where I was and nobody was looking for me. And think about Joseph. His dad thinks he's dead. His brothers are hoping he's never found. He's forgotten in the story. The butler totally forgot about him. You ever met a grandparent, by the way, who is forgotten by her grandkids? That's a painful road to be forgotten. You ever met a parent who is forgotten by their kids and they don't ever come by? And see, that's a painful road. Joseph is mostly forgotten, and yet God stepped into his life and rescued him. And a couple weeks ago, I played a song for you, but I want to play for you one of the songs that greatly influenced my life. And it's, again, it's not a contemporary song. It was sung in 1990, but I think this could be Joseph's song. And I want you to hear it and think about your life. And here's where you're going to get two chances tonight to participate. Would you be willing to share with us tonight how God might have rescued you? Would you be willing to do that? Can you get it up there, Brother Randy?
Lord, you know everything I've done, every thought I've had, you know everyone, and Lord, you know every time I fall, still you come to my rescue when I call. And Lord, you hear every idle word, every thoughtless deed, how it seems absurd. That Lord, you give not what I am due, but mercy, you come to my rescue. You come to my rescue. You come to my rescue.
Rescue. Rescue.
And Lord, you hear. You've become my friend. Amazing love, whose boundaries have no end. And Lord, you show what a great love can do by being there for my rescue. And Lord, I give all I can give, all of my heart, long as I shall live. So Lord, oh, 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 oh Lord, I want to thank you,
thank you
for coming to my rescue. You come to my
rescue.
You come to my
rescue.
To my still gonna make it show, with every breath gonna let you know.
I am accepting, though I can't comprehend
how I could be worth the cost when I was bound, despised. And Lord, I give all of my heart, long as I shall live. So Lord, oh Lord, I want to thank you.
I really want to thank you
for coming, to my rescue. Oh, my rescue, you come to my
rescue.
You come to my
rescue.
To my rescue, Lord, I could always depend on you.
Rescue.
You come to my rescue.
Rescue.
Keep on coming to my rescue.
Rescue.
You come to my rescue.
Rescue. Rescue.
You come to my rescue.
Driving from my house in Hiram to the children's home. And I remember that night as a teenager when I found myself sleeping in my truck, and the police officer said, "Son, you can't sleep here." And I said to him, I don't know where to go, sir. I don't know. And he said, "Son, I'm sorry, but you can't stay here." And I remember thinking to myself, I busted my life so bad. You know, look what I've done to my life. And I remember calling out to God, and God said to me one night, "You can belong to me." I said, "God, I've pushed away everybody in my life, and I've made such a mistake." He said to me, "You can belong to me." And it wasn't long after that that God began to direct my heart to this church. I started coming here when I was 19 years old. And what God did in my life is incredible. And as I said, "Okay, God, I'm going to try things your way. I'm going to walk in your path." What God has built in my life, you know what's crazy? I cannot go anywhere, anywhere within 40 miles without four people saying to me, "Uncle B," right? "Uncle B." I walk out of a Publix and an 80-year-old dude will holler, "Hey, Uncle B." And I know everybody thinks that's one jacked up family, right? But God rescued me. Is there anybody else that can look back into your life and say, "God rescued me"? Would anybody be humble enough to share that tonight? God rescued you. You in a financial situation in any way, anybody want to share that? Across the room? Brother Ceylon? Amen. How old are you, Brother Ceylon? He's 81 years old. You got an 81-year-old fella, and he's shedding tears tonight. Looking back, man, I could have died. I could have died. He said, "I could have died in a tractor accident. My prayer partner was walking down a thing over a rice paddy, and bullets were flying between his legs, literally flying between his legs. And he said, if I had died that day, and I could have died that day, I would have went straight to hell. I was unsaved. God spared me. God spared me." He said he called in for an airstrike, and when he got back to the base, they said, "You cost the taxpayer $40 million, whatever it was, $40,000. And he said, "If you were out there, you know." Anyway, long story short, God rescued you. Anybody else, Brother Jeff, you said that? God's a rescuing God. By the way, young people, those typically do go downhill.
Before it was over with, I lay down on the side of the road and switchblade knife stuck up to my chest. Yeah. And it was like, you know, I wasn't sure where that was going to go. And then somebody from the truck stopped across the street and came out and threw them off of us.
Yeah, gotcha. Do you hear what he said? A switchblade knife stuck to my chest, and I wasn't sure which way that was going to go. Yeah, I guess not. Yeah. I got you. Does anybody else want to share one? So you got one there. Does anybody else want to share one? Did you have one more you want to share? Okay. Good deal. Well, the thing about Joseph, he's clearly been rescued by God, but he wasn't just rescued in order to have him set up and be powerful. He was rescued, and all of you who have been saved by Jesus Christ were rescued in the same way to join the rescuing efforts of God. Literally, Joseph has been rescued, but to what end? He's now going to be a part of rescuing the family of God. Literally, God has chosen for Abraham to bring forth the seed of the Lord Jesus Christ, as you know. And Abraham has begat Isaac, and Isaac Jacob, and Jacob's 12 sons. And Joseph is one of those 12 sons. And if they all die in the famine, there goes the plan of God, and God wanted to rescue them. So he literally positioned Joseph this way. Have any of you guys ever seen a documentary on William Booth, who started the Foundation Army? Have you ever seen why he started that? He said God gave him a vision, and he said that it was the craziest thing, that literally there was a great rock in the midst of a raging sea, and literally Jesus was diving into the sea and pulling people out and putting them on the rock. And he said, but then the most bizarre thing happened. Jesus would dive back in and go out into the sea to try to rescue more. And the people who'd been positioned on the rock and saved, instead of saying to Jesus, Jesus, I'll come with you and help you, were constantly calling to him saying, make my life more comfortable. Help me understand this. Teach me this song. Bless me, make me richer, all of these different things. And he said, from the rock, you would never know that there's a raging sea going on out there and a great need. And all the while, the people were saying to Jesus in the sea, come to me, come to me, come to the rock, come to me. And Jesus was in the sea saying, come to me, come to me. Join the great rescue effort. And Joseph is called to that, and now he's going to be a part of that. God has elevated him so that he can fulfill his call in his life. And that's going to go on in his life. Where we stopped at the last time that we were together was, I said to you guys, if you walk with God, you will see beautiful things. If you walk with God, you will see beautiful things. Does anybody remember the illustrations I gave you out of that? I talked about some of the kids at Calvary Children's Home that grew up and call me when their kids get saved or when their kids get baptized, or seeing CJ's kids. I don't know if anybody saw Amanda's post this week about the crazy, wonderful young men. That's a child of a child that we raised. That is so beautiful. But if you walk with God, you'll see beautiful things. And let's see that played out in Joseph's life. If you will, go with me to Genesis chapter 43, verse number 27. Genesis 43, verse number, 27. Where are those readers at? You know the drill. Joseph has said, I'm going to hold on to Simeon. You make sure you bring your brother back. I got these feminine glasses up here. It's all I got. I'm sorry about that. If anybody's got manly readers out there, send them my way. And the Bible says in verse number 27, and he asked them of their welfare and said, is your father well, the old man whom you spake? Is he yet alive? Each time Joseph spoke to his brothers, he asked the same question. Is your father well? Something beautiful out of this. God has given him a great love for his father. Max, answer my question. You ready? If you take and take and take, what? You break and break and break. If you're a taker, you're going to be a breaker. It's just true. Joseph has not just received the love of his father. By the way, you remember the coat of many colors that he had, you know, the favor that God, that his father had shown to him. But he loves him, and that love has been so good, he is literally loving him back in that way. And every single time he speaks to them, he asks them that question. And then the Bible says, and they answered, thy servant our father is in good health, he is yet alive. And they bowed down their heads and made obeisance. In other words, they showed him respect. There is beauty in hope. Do you know what he just heard? You might get to see him. He's still alive. It's been 22 years. Catch that? It's been 22 years. He was 17 when he started it. He's 39 years old standing here. He's saying, tell me about your dad, because their dad is his dad. And he wants to know, is he okay? And they just told him, he's still living. You might get to see him. And the Bible says, and he lifted up his eyes, that's Joseph, and this is important, and saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son, and said, is this your younger brother of whom you spake unto me? And he said, God be gracious unto thee, my son. And Joseph made haste, for his bowels did yearn upon his brother, and he sought where to weep, and he entered into his chamber and wept there. You know what has gone on in his life? Another absolutely beautiful thing. He is reconnected with a great love. Imagine what, you know this, if you remember the story, it's so important that you connect Bible dots to Bible dots. The Bible says that his older brothers could not speak peaceably to him. They hated him. The Bible says they hated him, and then they hated him yet the more. So imagine Joseph is growing up in this family. They probably hated him because their father favored his mother. Remember, this is the guy who married Rachel and Leah, and he worked 7 years to get Rachel, and he married a girl named Leah also. Most of these other kids are the children of concubines or Leah. He and Benjamin are the only children of Rachel, and probably in that household, his baby brother was his only friend. Think of it. The Bible says the others hated him and couldn't speak peaceably. Joseph is 17. Maybe his little brother is 3 or 4 or 5 years old. He probably took Benjamin to skip a rock. Do you have a little friend in your that's important in your world? I bet you at times Joseph took his coat of many colors off and probably laid it over that little boy. Probably tucked Benjamin in a time or two. his only friend in the household. And now all these years have passed. He's 39 years old. This child has grown, whether he was one or two or three. We don't know how old he was when Joseph went into, but he sees him again. And the Bible says he is crying. He's getting to see him all over again. And we just love this. I love it so much because he is getting to experience this truth. If you walk with God, you will get to see the word of God come to pass. If you walk with God, we're going to get there by the end of it, but you're going to see this. He is literally seeing what God told him would happen come to pass, and that's a pretty spectacular sight. The Bible says in verse 31, we're going to read a bunch of verses tonight. Stay with me. And he washed his face and went out and refrained himself and said, set on bread. Remember, they still don't know it's him, but he knows it's them. And they set on bread for him by himself, for them by himself. The Bible goes on to say that the Egyptians thought it was an abomination to eat with the Hebrews. So when they were eating, Joseph sat at one table, everybody else sat at the other table. Look with me at verse number 33. And they sat before him, the firstborn according to the birthright, and the youngest according to his use, and the men marveled one towards another. They marveled because this was stunning kindness. They've just come to get bread. Now they've been invited to this very powerful man's house, and he's feeding them. But I also think he probably marveled that he figured out who was the oldest. And next, and next, and next, and next, and next. You know what I mean? I'm not going to put any fact on what I'm about to tell you, but the Bible frequently uses the phrase, the steward of Joseph's house. There was one guy in Joseph's house that I get the opinion he was in on it. Joseph had told him what's going on because he cooperates so fully with Joseph's plan, and he has put them in this order. And so these guys are going, what's going on? We're getting fed in this rich guy's house. It's crazy. Verse number 34 says, and he took and sent messes unto them before him, but Benjamin's mess, or big pile of food, was five times as much as any of theirs. That's favoritism, isn't it? And they drank, and they were merry with him. You know what's crazy? You know what's absolutely crazy? This can only happen with somebody who walks with God. The very last time these boys ate in the presence of Joseph, he was crying from the pit, please, please don't do this. Help, please don't do this. The last meal they had together, the Bible says they sat down to eat while he was screaming and crying in the pit, and then they sold him. The last time they were together, but here, they're being shown this kindness with him. It's crazy. Do you know what's absolutely amazing about this story? The Bible tells us essentially that Joseph is a picture of Jesus. By the way, I'll just jump into this for just a second. Imagine for just a second these boys have showed up and they don't know it's him, and Joseph did what so many of us did. And Joseph begins to count all the wrongs that he has been done. All the times, all the suffering that he did. What if he just started to think to himself, man, I was scared. I was 17 years old. I got sold. I was scared. They hurt me. They put those shackles on me and they hurt me. I got thrown in prison. I didn't see the light of day for years. For years, I ate garbage in prison, literally. He could pull all these things up, but he is a picture of Jesus. They gave him no mercy, but he is giving mercy. And isn't it beautiful? Isn't it beautiful? They're at a meal for the next time, and he's feeding them, and he's crying because he loves them. When you walk with God, you will see things differently, and it will be beautiful. The Bible says the very next day, at daybreak, he sends them on their way. And every time they leave, Joseph sends with them or requires something of them to make sure they're coming back. The Bible says that this time, he literally tells the steward of his house, hey, put my silver cup in Benjamin's sack. Benjamin doesn't know it, but he says, put that cup in Benjamin's sack because he was going to later chase them down and say they stole it. Now, I can't begin to tell you why that was going to be, but Joseph is going to say to them, because Benjamin stole my cup, you're leaving him here. You can go home and feed your families, but you're leaving Benjamin here. Somebody guess with me right quick. Why would you think Joseph might want to keep Benjamin with him? What do you think, Orlando? Yeah, he thinks so he can be reunited with his only blood brother. Maybe he doesn't trust him. Maybe he thinks the last time that I was with him, they did me wrong, right? And he doesn't trust him, so he thinks, I'll frame Benjamin, I'll get him here with me. And also, I would suggest to you, he knows it's going to be very hard to get his father to come to Egypt. He knows good and well his father is not going to want to come to Egypt, because remember who his father is. His father is Jacob. Abraham begat Isaac. Isaac begat Jacob. They were told, I'm giving you the promised land. And it would be hard to get them out of the promised land. In fact, the only way that Joseph did get them out was, the Bible says, he sent wagons unto his father. And the wealth of those wagons convinced Abraham, I mean not Abraham, but Jacob rather, that Joseph must really be alive, or we wouldn't have got those wagons. So every time he's done that, but the Bible says that because he basically framed Benjamin, if you'll pick up with me in verse number 12 of chapter number 44, please get it on the board. The Bible says they track him down, and that same steward, Bible says, who put it in there, he searched and began at the eldest and left at the youngest, and the cup was found in Benjamin's sack. And they rent their clothes, and they laded every man his donkey and returned to the city. And Judah and his brethren came to Joseph's house, for he was yet there, and they fell before him on the ground. Remember what the dream was. Several times now he has got to see that. Verse number 16 says, and Judah said, you've got to hear what he said. Judah said, what shall we say unto my Lord? What shall we speak? Or how shall we clear ourselves? God hath found out the iniquity of thy servants. Behold, we are my Lord's servants, both we and he also with whom the cup is found. There is a change in these boys' lives, by the way. Now, in this instance, they're taking responsibility for something that wasn't their fault. They didn't steal the cup when it was back when Joseph, it was the opposite, you remember? They didn't take responsibility what happened to Joseph, but they're taking tremendous responsibility for what's going to happen to Benjamin. They literally said, we got caught, we're guilty, take us. Go to the next verse, if you will. Verse number, 17. And he, Joseph, said, God forbid that I should do so, but the man in whose hand the cup is found, he shall be my servant. And as for you, get you up in peace unto your father. You know what he was saying? I'm not unjust. I'm not punishing all of you. I'm only going to punish the one. I'm keeping Benjamin. Watch what happens. And the Bible says, then Judah came near unto him and said, this is must-see TV. You want to read it. Then Judah came near unto him and said, oh, my Lord, let thy servant, I pray thee, speak a word in my Lord's ear, and let not thine anger burn against thy servant, for thou art even as Pharaoh. You're a very powerful man. Please give me patience. Please hear me. My Lord asked his servant, saying, have you a father or a brother? You know what? He reminds him that you're the one that asked us, did we have a father or a brother? Why did Joseph ask them, you got a father or a brother? He was checking on his family, if you might recall. And he's reminded of his love that he has for them. Verse number 20 says, and we said unto my Lord, we have a father, an old man, and a child of his old age, a little one, and his brother is dead, and he alone is left of his mother, and his father loveth him. And thou saidest unto my servants, bring him down unto me, that I might set mine eyes upon him. And we said unto my Lord, the lad cannot leave his father, for if he should leave his father would die. You know what he's saying? He loved those two boys. He's only got one of them left, and he can't survive that. And the Bible says, and thou saidest unto thy servants, verse 23, except your youngest brother come down with you, you shall not see my face anymore. In other words, the only reason we brought him was because you made us. And it came to pass when we came up unto thy servant, my father, we told him the words of my Lord. And our father said, go again and buy us a little food. Please grab the next couple verses. And we said, we cannot go down if our youngest brother be with us. Then we will go down, for we may not see the man's face except our youngest brother be with us. By the way, here's a good news for you young people. When you move out of your parents' home, you don't have to obey them anymore. You have to honor your parents, but you don't have to obey him. Jacob said to his children, go buy us a little food. They said, no, not unless you give us Benjamin, because he said he wouldn't see us if we don't have Benjamin. But listen to what he said. Verse 27, it's critical. And the Bible says, and thy servant my father said unto us. Hear what I'm about to tell you. He hadn't heard a word from his dad in 22 years. But he's about to hear something his dad said. Not a word for 22 years. Here's what your dad said. They didn't know he's his dad. Ye know that my wife bare me two sons. And one went out from me, and I said, surely he is torn in pieces. He thought Joseph was dead, eaten by an animal. And I saw him not since. And if you take this also from me and mischief befall him, you shall bring my head down to the grave, shall bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave. He spoke of his great love for them. This is the first word he's heard from his dad in 22 years. And you know what he was saying? I love these two boys. I lost one of them and I barely survived it. I lost Joseph and I barely survived it. And if you take this one away, I won't survive it. It'd be the death of me. Verse number 30 says, now therefore, when I come to the servant my father, the lad will not be with us, seeing that his life is bound up in the lad's life. It shall come to pass when he seeth the lad is not with us that he will what? He'll die. He can't take it. He loves this kid, and he lost his other one. And the Bible says, and thy servant shall bring down thy gray hairs of thy servant, our father, with sorrow to the grave. You know what he was saying? Don't kill my daddy. Don't kill my daddy. We can't go home without Benjamin. He already lost one, and it was too much for Joseph. You'll see in just a minute. For thy servant became a surety for the lad unto my father, saying, if I bring him not unto thee, then I shall bear blame to my father forever. We're almost to the great part. Now therefore I pray thee, let thy servant abide instead of the lad, a bondman to my Lord, and let the lad go up with his brethren. This is a tremendous difference in the boys. Judah just said, take me. Did you catch that? Let the kid go, take me. I'll serve you. I'll serve you. Trade me. And the Bible says, for how shall I go up to my father, and the lad be not with me, lest peradventure I see the evil that shall come on my father. Do you know what? They are greatly, greatly humbling themselves. They are asking for mercy. Can I ask a young person what happens every single time a person humbles themselves? What happens every single time? The humble get what? The Bible says the Bible says God gives grace to the humble, but he resists the proud. 100% of the time you see somebody humble himself, they're on their way to getting some grace. They're humbling themselves. They're asking for mercy. They're taking responsibility. But also, you know what he has just discovered? Me and these brothers, we have a mutual love. We have a mutual love. They love their daddy. I love their daddy. They love their father. I love their father. We can make this work. Verse chapter 45, verse number 1. We've been trying to get here forever. We're finally here. What time we got? We got time. The Bible says, then Joseph could not refrain himself before all of them that stood by him. And he cried, cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard. Why does the Bible tell us that he wept so loud that the Egyptians in the house heard him? Do you know what he's got? What's the Bible conveying? He's got great joy. He's got great joy. If you walk with God, there will be seasons of your life of great joy. You remember I told you when I got that call from North Cobb Christian, I danced? Do you remember that? Right? You have great joy. And so he's done that. Verse number 3 says, and Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live? Do you see it again? That's the third time. Tell me again, Dad's alive. Tell me again. And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. You know what's crazy? They understand this is Joseph. We deserve judgment, and yet Joseph is a picture of Jesus. He is giving great mercy. And the Bible says in this instance, you know what I want to just say to Joseph? I promise you, I just want to say it. I want to say, you did it! You held the hand of God. You walked in righteousness when the whole world walked in wickedness. You believed what God said. You walked in with God and you did it and you brought the mercy of God. Whenever one of the Calvary kids or somebody precious in my life holds the hand of God and gets to a college degree, or maybe they're marrying somebody like Amanda or somebody that's great for them or something incredible, I always say the same thing. And even if you're starting a varsity football game, I'll probably tell you. What do I say? Game time, crunch time. What's the next line? Catch a dream by the tail time. It's catch a dream by the tail time, Joseph. You did it. Verse 4 says, Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. He was saying to them, God used my pain to rescue you. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are five in the which there shall be neither earing nor harvest. You know what that tells you? He still believed what God said. God said 7 great years, 7 bad years. He says there's 5 more years of big trouble coming. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. God hath worked all these things together. And he said, he hath made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Haste ye. What do you make of that word? Haste. Hurry up. And go to my father and say unto him, thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me lord of all Egypt. Come down and tarry unto me and tarry not. And thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen. By the way, there's a children's home just north of us, about 60 miles, that's called Goshen, and I love that name. Goshen was the land where they had safety and protection in the time of famine. That family found shelter and protection in the land of Goshen during the time of famine, and they named the children's home just north of us that. I love it. And thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children, and thy children's children, thy flocks, and thy herds, and all that thou hast. Verse number 11, last verse. And I will there, and there I will, what's that? What's your Bible say? I'm going to take good care of you. For yet there are 5 years of the famine, lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty. You know what he was just saying to them? You have to believe me. When he said that, you got to do what I said. You got to go get dad and you got to come back. You got to believe me because this thing is coming. When you walk with God, you're going to see some beautiful things. And I can't imagine how anxious Joseph must have been when now all of his brothers went back to get his dad. We're going to see in the time when his dad finally does come, he's going to run out and he's going to weep on his neck. You can just imagine that. But also, I would just say to you, in this passage of Scripture, we learn if you walk with God, you get to see the Word of God come to life. You get to see it actually come to pass. I can explain that to you guys in a couple of very, very practical ways, but none more practical than to remind you how Jesus Christ ended the Sermon on the Mount. How did he end the Sermon on the Mount? He said, whoever hears these sayings of mine and doeth them, I, catch that, God's promise to you, William, God's promise to you, I will liken you to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And when the rains come and the winds blow and beat upon the house, it's not going to fall, for it was going to be founded upon a rock. In every single area of your life where you can look at and say, I did what Jesus said, you will see that's an area that Jesus has strengthened. It will always happen because God has said it. I think of how in a marriage, I'm not going to diminish my family at all, but I grew up in a family of 6. My parents are divorced. Both my other brothers are divorced. And I wanted my marriage to work. The men of my family haven't figured out a way to make a marriage work in that regard. And so you know what I said? I'm going to focus on God's way, and I'm going to try to do things God's way. Do you know what happened today? Today I was sitting in my office. True story, Melita and I have been married forever, 26 years. We dated 2 years prior to that, almost 30 years together. She's had me since I was a teenager, right? I'm 49 now. I was 19 when we met. So literally I'm sitting in my office, and my phone rings. Anybody else got their phone recently sold to one of those spam services or whatever? My phone is just nothing but spam, right? I mean, it's just like spam call, spam, hundreds of calls, right? But anyway, I look down, and when Melita calls my phone, it says, my Melita, and God is my witness. I'm all by myself. I look down, and it says, my Melita, and I said, oh, yay, right? That's my girl. You can ask all the Calvary kids, where's my favorite place to be? Wherever she is. I'm telling you, it's true. Because you know what? We tried things God's way. We forgive each other. We forgive each other. You know what? When you forgive your spouse, you are literally saying, you're not guilty. I declare you not guilty. And when you can look at your wife or your husband as if they have never done anything wrong to you, they're completely, totally forgiven. When that happens, it's very endearing because when any hurt is gone, all that's left is the hugs and the adventures and the friendship and the kindness. And it's just awesome. Beyond that, there's some Bible truths that we also agreed upon. You know what? The Bible teaches us to put the other one over top of ourselves, to treat the other person better than ourselves. And so with my life, I've always tried to say, if we have one good car and one bad car, she's getting the good car. That's just what we're going to do, right? All of the hard things in life, Melita will say every now and then, can you carry whatever comes next? Can you carry whatever comes next? She knows good and well. The answer is yes. Of course I will, right? Of course I will. Put somebody first. You could go down the list. By the way, the Bible also says, and you got to catch what I'm about to say, young people. It's very important. I'm sorry that We got some, you know, older folks here today who have to hear this, but I want the kids to hear it. The Bible also says, if you look on a woman to lust after her, King Jesus said, you've committed adultery in your heart. Who said that? King Jesus said that. So you know what I did in my marriage? I said, not in my mind, not with my eyes, not with anything. I will not, for all of my life, I will not look at any other woman in that way remotely. Not ever, ever, ever. And you know what happens when you do that? When there's nobody else in that environment of your life, you're going to be crazy about your wife all the days of your life. I promise you, you are. Because if you don't do that, and you do what so many young people are doing, did anybody, by the way, I hate to ask you to do it, maybe if you're super holy, you shouldn't do it, Google the lyrics of the singer from the Super Bowl halftime show. I won't call another adult man Bad Bunny. I just won't. I'm just not doing it. The artist who calls himself Bad Bunny, right? I'm not calling him that. If you Google the lyrics, he screamed in front of 130 million graphic sexual lyrics. That's all it was, by the way. All it was. I mean, I could just, you know, lay it out for you. Those were nothing but sex songs. That's what they were. And so if you live like the world does, your marriage is going to be like the world's marriage, right? It's going to be like the world's marriage. But if you do it God's way, you're going to see how God works, and you're going to get to understand it. Let me give you a couple more. We're almost done. If you want to see God's word come to pass, think about this scripture. What does Psalms 56:3 say? Does anybody know it? What time I am afraid. Who wrote that? David wrote that. David said in Psalms 56:3, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. I will make it a part of my life that I'm going to trust you. Proverbs 3:5-6 says what? Trust in the Lord. Connect these two dots. You got to have it, okay? We'll be done with this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will what? Direct your path. David said, when I'm afraid, I'm trusting in you. The Bible says, if you trust, he will direct your path. You know why David was so successful? He had constant guidance from God. He had constant guidance from God. All through the Bible, when David did not know what to do, he would turn to the Lord, even when he won huge battles. There's one time he won a battle, and he said to God, God, shall I smite them? And the Lord said to him, you shall smite them. I'll surely help you smite him, essentially. And then the next battle, he said, shall I smite them? And he said, you got to hide amongst the mulberry trees. Do you remember that? Justin preached his sermon on it. You got to hide amongst the mulberry trees, and when you hear a rustling in the top of the mulberry trees, then you attack. And you know what Joseph did? Even though he'd done nothing but beat the Philistines, he waited on God. And he waited for a rustling in the mulberry trees, because the Bible says, then you'll know God has gone before you. And he moved in that regard and smashed into them, and he crushed them. He weakened them so badly that his son never had to fight them. Think about that. His son literally never had to fight them because David so crushed them. Remember, he trusted in the Lord, so God directed his path. All through that scripture, right? Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you. Think about the places in Scripture where the Bible invites us to do what God says. Let me give you three things and we're done. I'm not even going to preach them. I'm just going to tell you that. The Bible says God helps the humble. Would you be humble? The Bible says God saves whoever calls on him, whoever puts their trust in him. Would you do that today? The Bible says God strengthens the life of those who walk with him. Do it. Do it. Joseph has walked with God, and he's getting to see this spectacular thing. He asked three times. He said, my name, I am Joseph. Does my father live? He's going to get to rescue his daddy. How precious is that? He's going to get to rescue his daddy. It's going to be too good to be true because he has walked with God. Do it. God, we love you today. We thank you for these truths, Father. I pray in Jesus' mighty name that you'd help them to anchor to our hearts. I love this story so very much because I see your move in Joseph's life. And Father, Lord, I commit to you that I'm going to walk in your ways, that I'm going to put you above all other things, that I'm going to try to follow your steps because I want to see all of that in my life. And where I have seen it. You've been faithful and you've been good, God. And I pray in Jesus' name that you would strengthen us from this lesson. There's probably 40 people in here tonight. And if 40 people would go out of this place and humble themselves, that'd be a lot of grace poured out. If there's somebody in here who's never trusted you as their Savior and they called out to you tonight and trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior who died for them and rose again according to the Scriptures, they could be saved, God. Father, Lord, and I just pray, God, that we would want our lives strengthened and helped, God. Tomorrow, if Ceylon Plemons walks away from you, he's going to experience sin. But if he puts his trust in you and he walks with you, even at 81 years old, you are going to move in his life. God, for all of us in between, move in our lives, oh God. We look to you and trust in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.